And welcome to
You Haven't Seen.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley.
This is a podcast where we watch movies that everyone has seen but us and then talk about them. And today we are kicking off our month of Bill Murray Christmas.
Murray Christmas.
Murray Christmas, yeah. So today we're watching Scrooged, which I have not seen, but Ashley has.
I have, yeah. I watched this movie as a kid.
Okay.
So this was one that was like...
Surprising. Have you seen it since you were a kid?
I mean, I feel like it's always on TV.
I've never seen it on TV. Well, but then again, like, my family's not a big, like, have the TV on all the time.
See, I feel like it used to be on TV a lot more.
Okay.
Now I don't really see it, but I feel like it was always on TV when I was a kid, so I just would catch glimpses of it.
When was the last time you've seen this?
Oh, probably years.
Okay.
It's been a really long time for me to sit down and watch it from start to finish.
All I know about it is that it's Bill Murray, and I am assuming it is,
Christmas Carol?
Christmas Carol. I'm assuming it's Scrooge, and then I was like, no, and then the next thing I thought it was like, Nightmare Before, no. You know, the ghosts.
The ghosts.
Assuming it's a Christmas Carol.
Yes,
I'm assuming Bill Murray is, you know, the cold-hearted man who gets shown his past, his present, his future, and then probably everything ends up okay.
Well, that's been You Haven't Seen.
Yeah. Done.
No, it is. It's modern. I say modern. It came out in 1988.
Okay.
So it is a 80s adaptation of Christmas Carol.
Oh, goody.
I know. but it does star Bill Murray. Also stars Karen Allen, who's like my queen.
What else was she in?
She's Indiana Jones' girlfriend. That's what she's most famous for.
Oh.
But like, she's been in a lot of stuff.
In
she was
which
like
Indiana Jones?
She's Marion.
Okay.
The good one.
All right. I was gonna say like, oh, that's great. And then I was like, nope, that could be bad.
Right?
Which one?
But she was like in Animal House and stuff. Like, I like her.
She was in Animal House.
Yeah, she's a girlfriend in Animal House too.
Okay. She always plays kind of like...
a spunky girlfriend.
Spunky, like, girl next door.
Right.
Like, you're a good kid.
Yeah. But she can still hold her own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a good kid, but then, like, someone tries to mess with her, and
right.
They, oh, they wish they hadn't done that. Typecast name.
So Karen Allen's in it. Bobcat Goldthwait is in it as well.
Who's him?
You'd know him if you saw him.
Okay.
You know the voice. Who's him? Carol Kane is in it.
All right, let's not go through the whole cast.
Okay.
It has a star-studded cast.
Right. So... according to IMDb, this is a selfish, cynical TV executive is haunted by three spirits bearing lessons on Christmas Eve.
All right. What are the taglines?
Looking right now. Oh, there's only two.
Oh, good. Hold on. Where are they? Oh, these are terrible.
The second one's kind of good.
Okay.
You want to do the first one?
Yeah. Okay. I had to, like, read it over because I'm like... my brain is still... we're a little bit on sick brain still.
Are you worried that I'll make fun of you if you mispronounce a word?
I was just thinking, like, this month is going to be interesting, because we've both been sick, and I think we're both a little bit still on sick brain, where we're just like, you know what, we're taking a lot of antibiotics right now.
Oh, 100%.
You know,
I can't feel my feet.
Mistakes will be made.
Right.
Bill Murray is back among the ghosts, only this time it's three against one. That was a Ghostbusters reference.
That was. Thank you, Debbie.
It took me, because I read it through twice before I read it out loud and I was like, oh, I get it now. Good grief. What year did Ghostbusters come out?
85.
Okay, I was like, so this was pretty soon after it.
Yeah.
So that tagline was, everyone was like, oh, okay, read the second one.
All right. The spirits will move you in odd and hysterical ways.
Well, they tried. They tried their best.
It'll do.
It'll do. All right, let's watch Scrooge. And we're back.
Hey!
Okay. Brief plot synopsis. It's exactly what we said in the beginning. It is exactly a Christmas Carol. But with the added twist of they're doing a live TV version of the Christmas Carol.
Right, it's It's a Christmas Carol, but updated for the 80s.
Yeah.
So the ghosts are a little bit more, they're less like Chains and Marley. And
except for that last one. It was truly terrifying.
But the Christmas Ghost of Future is always terrifying.
I know.
Like,
I
was every like, adaptation oh my God. Of Christmas Carol. Okay. Even Mickey Christmas Carol. Even,
yeah, I know. Like, it's always super freaky. Okay, we'll talk about him more a little bit later. But,
and Mickey Christmas Carol later.
Let's do basic first impressions. Actually, since you hadn't seen this in a while, did it live up?
Okay, so this comes as no surprise.
Yeah.
The Ghost of Christmas Present is my favorite ghost. That lived up 100% because I remember rewinding and playing that.
Oh my God, that doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
I just remember that part was the funniest thing I'd seen. And so that part lived up.
A Ghost of Christmas Present?
Yeah, Carol.
Yeah,
Kane.
She was my favorite as well, but that is only because I hated Bill Murray's character so much. And I was literally like, punch him again! Kick him! Give him another one! Yes.
Yes.
Whenever she'd be like, oh, like, here's your Sierra wind up, and I'm like, it's coming! So, I loved her because I was like, yeah. Nice right hook.
So, part, bam. I remembered so well. Like, was, I don't know why, but it was like seared into my memory. The rest of it, I was kind of like, oh, kind of forgot that I still enjoyed it. I thought it was slow in places.
And honestly, there was a lot in it that really bothered me. And part of it, I was going to say, the entire last scene, I just kind of skipped on through. Because of recent events, the whole, like, man with the gun in the control booth. Yeah. That really bothered me. And I didn't think it would affect me as much as it did. But I couldn't watch it. It just, because it's, like, there's just been too many shootings recently, and I just couldn't watch it. And same with the opening scene with all the assault rifles. That bothered me a little bit, but I was kind of like, okay, I know he's about a TV executive. I know this is just on TV. Like, okay. Like, I could kind of brush it off. But then when he went, like, when he showed up in his office with the gun, and then when he was, like, holding the control booth hostage, I was like, this really bothers me, and it honestly ruined the entire ending of the movie for me, because I was like, it's this is, like, too real. Too much of this has been happening in real life. Yeah. I can't find this funny. And so that kind of, like, I don't know. That really bothered me. But it was because I was just thinking of, like, I mean, it's just been, like, there's been so many this year. So it was more of just, like, ah, this is too real. I can't brush this off as a joke. It's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
But I was, like, had I watched this when I was a kid, wouldn't have bothered me in the slightest. Right. But now it's, like, it's too real.
Well, I guess we'll get to this, but his ending monologue.
Bill Murray's?
Yeah.
Wasn't really paying attention because I was trying to skip through all the gun bits. I'll be honest. Because this was on Amazon Video, and they have a little +10 second.
On iTunes.
Oh, really? I got it on Amazon Video. It was, like, it's $3 to rent.
It was, $3 on it. iTunes. Yeah,
and on the Amazon Video player in the app, they have a +10 second button. And so that entire, like, I was so bothered that I just kept pushing that to try to get through the gun bits. So didn't really get his entire, and also from what I saw of it, it wasn't really a coherent train of thought.
He says some things that I would like for you to read the monologue.
Okay.
Because I do think it is, he says some things about Christmas spirit and stuff, but it is a little bit of like, it is a little rambling, it's not coherent, but I think that's, if all that he's been through today, it makes sense for it to be non-coherent and to kind of, like, be a little, like, he's just recognizing everything that's good in his life at the moment.
Okay.
And it's classic Murray in the sense that, like, it is lovable, but at the same time, it is very, like, sarcastic.
Okay. Well, going back to classic Bill, I did not like his character, like, most of his character. Yeah. I just didn't, and it wasn't like, oh, he's a jerk, I don't like him. I just didn't think it was funny, because I thought he was kind of too all over the place.
Yeah, I think this,
And it's like, some of it I did think it was funny, but then, I don't know, I was just like, it wasn't quite believable to me, the rapid switches he would make. Because they were so, like, whoosh, like, whiplash over here, whiplash over there. And I was kind of just, I don't know, it just didn't land for me. I'll be honest. I probably wouldn't rewatch this.
Interesting.
Yeah. Except I would rewatch The Ghost of Christmas Present.
I did Ghost of Christmas Present. She's amazing.
Oh, she's a good one. And you know what? I think I like The Ghost of Christmas Past. The jerk with the taxi. Yeah.
He is really good, too.
Yeah.
Niagara Falls.
Yeah. And just the fact that he's such, like, the... Like, I'm a cab driver in New York. I'm a smoker. It's like, oh, we're gonna hotbox this car. Like, here we go.
I love that when... I kind of like that Bill Murray's character isn't likable. I feel like...
Well, I feel like he shouldn't be likable because he's Scrooge.
But I also feel like it's kind of... It is hard to make a Bill Murray character extremely unlikable.
Oh, I didn't like... Well, because... Especially when he was going through the I'll give them a towel type of stuff. Like, there's just too many people. Like, I'm getting really, like, sensitive to, like, jokes about our movies where it's like, oh, in the TV industry, oh, I know, let's make the executive not pay people. Ha, ha, ha. And it's like, you know what? There has been too much drawn to my attention about creative people not getting paid for their work that I'm just like, whenever I see it now, I'm like, no, pay them.
See, I think that's hilarious because I literally just had the conversation with my boss.
And about what?
About how we're all getting mugs for Christmas.
Oh, my gosh.
So I was like...
I've been getting real riled up lately.
Legit.
About, like... Mama, and it's, I mean, the entire team at work is, like, obviously, we're, like, paying people, but it's more, like, just, yeah. There's been a lot of drama in the entertainment industry recently about people not getting paid. I'm like, yes! So this was more me watching this movie that was shot in 89.
Right.
Or released in 89.
88, sorry.
I mean, being like, 2015 perspective is tainting this.
I did like that the vice president executive.
Which one was that?
The dude above Bill Murray, the old guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who was like, dogs and cats. We gotta start programming for dogs.
Oh, my God.
Which, he is a visionary because there's now, like, a fish tank that you can just put on TV and let your cat watch.
There is. Oh my God. I did think that was funny just because, like, alright, we got the next big thing. And it's just like, what? Okay.
Programming for dogs and cats. And then this movie has a lot of jokes that pay off really well.
It does.
And like, so he talks about the dogs and cats, and then when we finally see him in his house, it's just Cats everywhere.
Just cats everywhere. Oh, I did think the L.A. sleazeball thing was pretty funny.
That was spot on.
Just because it was just so stereotypical L.A. Whereas, like, he walks in and immediately it was like, I know this guy. I know this guy. And that is nothing against L.A.
No.
But, I mean, there's a reason it's a type. And it especially when he started, just because he was always touching him.
It's the touching.
Always, like, the shoulder squeeze or, like, the brush off. And it's, like, that's not even just, like, the L.A. sleazeball. That's just, like, the sleazeball.
Yeah.
Where they always come in and it's always, like, oh, let me fix your tie. Oh, if you're, like, for me, they always pat me on the head. Where it's just, like, oh, my gosh, like, pat, like, brush the shoulders. Oh, it's just, like, stop touching.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we've all met someone like that. It was just so spot on. And it was like, that was a great caricature of that type of person.
Yes.
Because it was exaggerated, like, just enough to be perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
And just the whole, like, it wasn't just the L.A., it was, like, just the kiss-ass who's, like, just gonna weasel in and do your job, like.
Who's, oh, everyone's buddy, and, like, at the very end when he was, like, correcting that guy's pronunciation, and it's like, everyone, what did he say? Oh, silly me. I was just like, oh my God. You're perfect.
Right, but at the same time, I was like, oh, look at him. He's so fun. Oh no.
Yeah.
I was like, that's how they trick you.
Yeah, that's how they get you. Like, those jerks, that's how they really end.
Right, I'm like, oh, he asked for my. Oh.
Yeah. So that was really funny. And also, okay. The character Grace, his secretary/assistant.
Yeah.
It was bothering me nuts most of the movie. Like, where do I know her from? Where do I know her from? Where do you know her from? I know her, because I finally landed where I know her from, is Desperate Housewives. Yes! I was like, because I ended up just looking her up on IMDb, like, where do I know her from? Desperate Housewives. Only in Desperate Housewives, she has her brother locked up in the basement, right?
Son.
It was her son. Yes.
She had two sons.
Yes. And the one was the good one. And the one in the basement. Spoiler alert for Desperate Housewives. But, oh, yeah, because I remember, oh, my God. And she was such, like, a tricky character in that show where I was like, what?
But I love that.
What is she keeping in the basement?
But I love that that role could have been really terrible.
Which one?
The Grace.
I was like, are we still talking about Desperate Housewives?
This isn't turning into the Desperate Housewives podcast.
Thank goodness. But I figured it out. I just have an old caps my notes. Desperate Housewives, she was crazy and kept her son in the basement. As in, like, Teacher Debbie, remember this. Yeah, that could have been a bad role, but
right,
then...
But she played it with so... She played it so real and so much like an assistant, where it's like, for those... For me, who has been an assistant, I'm like, oh, yeah. Where she's just like, okay, you know, like, does her job, does it well.
Yeah.
But then, like, behind his back, she's like,
Yep. I'm gonna give a VCR recorder to your brother. Which, I thought that was funny. How, because the two gifts he's giving everyone is if he doesn't like them, he gives them a towel. And if he does like them, he gives them a top-of-the-line VCR recorder. Ooh.
1988.
Yeah. It's like, that's so funny. But I did like her, and I was wondering if they were going to address, like, why she had all these kids by herself.
Yeah.
And then they did, like, her husband died.
I forgot that he was meant to be the Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
So the entire time...
I called that, I was like, this kid can't talk, Tiny Tim.
But see, I forgot he couldn't talk. Because you find out that he went to the doctor, or he needs to go to the doctor.
She's talking to him, and they're walking out from the subway.
Right, but that's a bit into the movie.
That is a bit into the movie, that's true, yeah. So, because I was wondering when she said, when Bill's like, we're working late.
Right.
I had to take my son to the doctor. I made that appointment 2 months ago. I was like, what doctor are you going to where you make an appointment 2 months in advance?
A specialist.
Yeah, like a specialist. I know, that's what I'm saying. Like a specialist or like a really popular dentist. Only one of the two.
So, I kind of forgot that he was meant to be the Tiny Tim. It wasn't until they came out of the subway, and that's when I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, this kid can't talk.
So I was like, that's the Tiny Tim.
Yeah. I did like, as she's walking down the stairs, and she's like, $200 to tell me something that I already know.
But I like that whole family was kind of like, it seemed real.
Yeah, like, it did.
That kind of just offshoot of, like,
yeah,
this manic craziness is going on, but then this family's grounded.
That was one of the few relationships, not few relationships, a few personal relationships that I'm like, this does seem real. Because that family dynamic seemed real. The relation, like, the business relationships all seemed real. Yeah. But then, like, Bill Murray and his love interest did not seem real to me. Even in, like, the flashbacks when they were, like, happy together. I was like, I don't buy this.
In the flashbacks, I can see it.
Okay.
But I think I like Karen Allen, so, like...
I like her. She's so cute.
Right?
Oh, my God. I do have one question. Who is, Herman? How does he know Herman?
Oh, okay, so I forgot about this, too.
Because I know that he was talking to Herman at the homeless shelter.
Right.
And then as he's walking out the door, Herman asks him for a dollar. And then we see Herman frozen in the sewers, in which I actually started screaming. Because, what? Like, what? That wasn't in A Christmas Carol. I wasn't prepared for, like... The Shining, frozen in the... No! Was not prepared for that! I start, and this was right at the height of my, like... I was watching this when I was sick, too. And so in my notes, I'm like, just lines of, Just, who's Herman?
Herman is the guy, the homeless guy.
Okay, does he know Herman before he met him?
No.
Okay, so that's the thing I missed. It seemed like he had met him before somewhere.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But then, I think it was more like he could have given Herman a dollar.
And he didn't give Herman a dollar.
Right.
And then Herman died.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was more like, I don't know, maybe he could know Herman. I didn't get that, though.
Okay. Let's go through the ghosts.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, okay. Let's go through the ghosts. Let's start.
Start with Marley, or the
Ghost of Christmas Past.
No, the Marley.
Start with the future?
No,
start with our favorite.
All right, one more time. There's technically four ghosts.
Oh, yes, the golf guy. Okay, I was so confused. Okay, yeah, Marley, who was kind of his, like,
who was the
mentor.
Mentor.
Yes.
Who was the last executive
before Bill. Yeah.
Right.
That was disgusting.
That was amazing.
That was so great. Like, this was right at the point of my...
so good.
The makeup was great, and as I was watching this, I remember thinking, if I wasn't squeamish right now... wouldn't be all over this, but because, like, when the mouse crawled out of his head, and then when his arm ripped off, I was like, oh my gosh, yuck. And then when, so after he disappears, and Bill Murray's like, oh, it was all a dream, and then takes the drink, and then the golf balls, and I just was like, it's a brain ball. That was in the ghost head.
That was crazy. That was one of my favorite shots, though, because it's, like, it's just timed so perfectly.
It is.
And they keep on it so long that it's, like, it just bounces into frame, and you can just, like, it makes you queasier every time. Because
it's, like, brains. Was in a head. Don't forget the brains!
But I like that was kind of the, I like that kind of signified that this is not your normal Christmas story.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a Marley who's, like, in chains and who's been...
No.
Like, he was killed on the golf course.
Yeah.
He...
had a stroke.
Right.
I liked, well, okay, because also Bill Murray has a gun in his desk, apparently.
Yeah. I like that he made noises by firing it. I feel like that's a very... if you're grown up watching TV...
it's like in Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. I was just thinking of, like, Bill Murray as Nick Frost going, bang, bang, bang. But except for Nick Frost was like, ah! Different screaming.
No, he did that too.
He did. Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same flavor.
Right. But I feel like if you're raised on TV like Bill Murray was, mm-hmm. then that's what you would do when you fire a gun.
That's true.
Is, like, make those banging noises.
And then, what's the ghost name?
I can't remember what his name is.
No, like, you just said it, the character name.
Oh, Marley, but I don't think in this one his name is Marley.
Oh, that's right.
I think that's, the original.
Well, then he's like, you know, like, blowhosing me all you want, but take it easy on the Bacardi. Oh, don't drink Bacardi. That's disgusting.
Man after my own heart.
Ugh.
Let's say New Marley.
Ew.
So, New Marley.
Yeah.
Which I like that it kind of was like, this isn't your normal Christmas carol. This is about greed, but it's more about lacking in humanity.
Yeah.
Less about, like, because I feel like the original Christmas carol is kind of like, don't let greed destroy you.
Yeah. This is also because there is the ambition tie-in. There is, like, empathy. It wasn't just straight, like, he wasn't just a miser.
No.
Because his wealth was really never mentioned. It was all kind of more about his, like, position in the TV network,
right.
You know?
I mean, it's really about humanity and being a humanitarian.
Yeah, because in, like, all the homeless people and stuff like that, yeah.
It's... And I like that that's kind of what... you know, that's what we're... that's what the 80s needed. Was, like, yes, greed is there.
Yeah.
But, like, don't forget people.
Yeah, that's true.
So Marley comes and warns everyone.
Yes.
And then we go to the ghost...
of Christmas Past. Who is the cab driver?
Who's supposed to... I like that he's like, he's gonna come at noon. Which is the most terrifying thing to do.
Yeah.
Cause then,
and then because Bill went crazy in the restaurant.
But he was hallucinating.
He was hallucinating. And that was his downward trajectory as a TV executive. When you lose your mind in a public place, guys. But turns out no one wants you to keep your job.
But I like that it was like, this ghost is standing outside. Basically trying to get Bill Murray to come outside.
Yeah.
Why not
light someone on fire? Why not? I really like that. And just because at first he just seems like a crazy cab driver.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, 100% this cab driver is crazy. Oh, wait. The ghost.
And then that's how he time travels, is like his fare goes back. Yeah. And I was like, oh,
I like so that. Smart. That was a nice touch. His childhood was so sad. He was like, but I had Santa for a choo-choo train. Oh, you're not going to get it. Oh, buddy. Oh, no.
But I like that that's
Niagara Falls.
But I feel like before I didn't really realize that Bill Murray's character, Frank Cross, is supposed to have grown up on TV. So I like that it's his whole life has been TV.
Yeah.
And that's
so kind of, obviously that's what's important to him.
Right. So that's kind of the first moment where you're like, oh, okay, this.
I think they could have like driven that home a little bit more. Yeah. Because that's really the only mention. The only straight out mention they have of it, you know?
Is in the past, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was a problem, too. Well, yeah.
Because it's like, until you came out and said that in this podcast, I was like, oh, yeah, of course he did.
Well,
but when I was watching it, I wasn't like, that's why the TV network means so much to him. I just feel like that groundwork could have been laid a little better.
The lines that, like, the only reason I'm so attached to it is because when, like, they walk out and he's like, I had a good childhood. And
he uses TV references. Yeah, he does use TV references.
I went to prom with his girls. That was a Little House on the Prairie.
That's true. I had forgotten about that.
And that was the moment where I was like,
you were raised on the TV. Where else is he? So he takes him to his childhood home.
Right, which I like that the moment that makes him cry is the moment where his mom blows him a kiss. I'm like, oh.
Oh my god, I would cry too. And then where else does he take him? He takes him to the holiday party when he was in the mail room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he met Karen.
Which, oh my god, that reminded me a little bit of, like, Mad Men.
Yeah.
I was just like, good grief. I did look up when Bill Murray was born, just because when they went in, like, the years back, I was like, math is failing me right now. I can't. But he was born, I think, like, 1950.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Let me double check, because they went back to 1955.
Oh.
And I was just kind of wondering, like, how accurate, you know, like, how accurate is this? Like, are they pretending that Bill Murray's, like, younger or older than he was? Yeah, but so he was born in 1955, so they were basically keeping, like, Bill Murray's age.
That's cool.
Which I was like, well done. Good job.
You're
not, like, trying to make him seem like, you know, he's 26 or something. Like, good job. Good job.
Good job.
So then they went to the Christmas party, right?
Yeah.
And then...
And I love that he's the only one working, and they're like, hey, did you not notice there's a Christmas party?
He's like, oh, you know, I did hear of one. Like, oh, good one, Belle. And that's when he meets What's-Her-Face.
Yeah, Grace. Karen Allen.
Yeah. That was a good meet-cute.
That was a very good meet-cute.
Yeah. It was a good meet-cute.
Because it was adorable, because both of the... I hate meet-cutes that are, like... That are clumsy.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, like, she, like, hurts him or they hurt each other. And then immediately they're like, do you want to grab a coffee? And, like, they go.
Yeah.
But this was, like, she was like, okay, I got my stuff. Like,
bye. And then... Because it took them, like, a couple of tries before she was like... Do you want Chinese food? And I really like, because I thought that she was going to invite him back to her place.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing that usually happens in meet cutes. I'm like, duh. No. Do not. No.
Right.
You invite them to go get coffee or go get food. Right. You know? But, yeah. So I am glad that she didn't say, want to come back to my place?
Yeah.
Because I would have just, I was screaming a lot at the screen during this. Just, I mean.
I also like that she was like, and she just called him Lumpy.
I was wondering why she was calling him Lumpy, and then once that story came, I was like, I approve of the nickname.
I was gonna say, I do like that, but I also am like, I don't know if it's endearing that she's like, still gonna call him Lumpy, because I'm like, that is such a silly pet name.
It is such a silly pet name, and part of me liked that she still called him Lumpy, because after all they've been through, you know, he was still her Lumpy. But at the same time, I'm like, girl, he is a jerk. He does not deserve to be your Lumpy. You know? Girl.
Girl.
Do better for yourself than this man who's a jerk. I did not. I was like, in terms of do I support the relationship?
Yeah.
Did not support the relationship.
I support the relationship in the sense that she makes him so much better. Like,
she does make him better.
She is the person who, even if we were friends with her,
yeah,
she would be the friend where I'd be like, I just want to be her. Yeah. Or, like, I would just feel terrible. Well,
and I was on her side because, like, even when he was saying, oh, let's go away now, she was like, no, I can't. I have things I have to do here at the homeless shelter. Like, I did really appreciate that she was willing to take him back, but she wasn't willing to change for him.
Right.
And yeah. Which, like, that's good.
Yeah.
Let's have more women who are not willing to change. Because, like, that's so annoying when it's, like in Greece.
Yeah.
Where it's like, he had on the Letterman vest, he could have completely changed his whole life. But right. Instead, she did, and then he immediately went back to how he was. Where it's like, she was willing to take Bill Murray back, which I was like, he has not groveled nearly enough for you to take him
back. Yeah, I thought there could have been more groveling.
Yeah. But then she was like, oh, wait, you want me to completely abandon my life?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not gonna fly. So no. I did like that.
Right. But. And I liked how it really helped, because when the ghost of future comes in, her path is that she becomes, like, a lady who lunches.
Yeah, that's true.
And that is, like, that's exactly, like, what she would have become.
Yeah,
she
it is.
And not even that that she was married to him. It was just that his words.
Yeah, she becomes a female him.
Right. And that's the thing. It's, like, going back to the whole thing about, like, how words have, you know, words hurt and they have meaning and they can change your whole life.
Yeah. Especially, it's, like, because for her, they kind of became almost like a mantra.
Yeah.
You know? Where it's just like, words have this power.
Yeah. We put so much into this movie.
Oh my gosh. No one has analyzed Scrooge this much. We should write a book. Just be like an in-depth psychological analysis of Scrooge.
But then in the corner.
Chapter one, words. And the words. Corner, just be like, they mean something. Oh my god, that would be funny. Alright, well, let's add that on the hypothetical to-do list. Okay. So, and does the Ghost of Christmas Past take him anywhere else?
Niagara Falls.
When he met her, and I think that's it, right?
Oh, the breakup.
Oh, yeah, the breakup.
And the Ghost of Christmas Past is in the studio audience, and they're like, at the talk show.
It's a bone! I'm not gonna lie, I thought of you when you went to that Muppet thing. Readers, Ashley, when the Muppet movie came out, what's his face from Flight of the Conchords?
Brett McKenzie
had like a Muppets live show.
Yeah.
And Ashley went to it hungover. And obviously, it's all of these little kids. And Ashley came back with gift baskets.
It's very awkward.
I got a kazoo. It was a good day.
And a fake mustache.
And a fake mustache.
It was awkward.
It was a great day for me.
Right? I drank my Sprite and kept quiet.
What row were you in?
Oh, not front row. I was in the back.
But it made me think of you. I was like, ooh, here. It's not a small child. That crazy taxi driver in the back seat.
I was sitting in the back just going, hey, Kermit!
It's a bone, you dumb dog!
It's a bone!
So that was funny. And then he ends up in the sewer, right? No, he ends up in the sewer after the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Yes.
Okay.
But I thought that breakup scene was really good, too.
It was good. Because it was just like, it was kind of nice because you saw her realize, oh, this guy's not going to change, you know?
Yeah.
We saw the step too far.
Yeah.
And she didn't think about it. You could tell, like, her mind had been made up before. It's like, one more, and I'm going to tell him he needs a break.
Yeah. And it wasn't even, like, we're breaking up, and it wasn't, like, a whole big scene. It was just, like, I'm going here, you're going there. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure she went to her friend's house and, like,
cried.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't a whole big thing. It was just, I'm going here, you're going there. Let's, you know, take a break for a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really glad it wasn't some big, like, screaming, throwing shit. Like,
Yeah.
Type of thing. Because it doesn't really seem her style.
No. So then, my favorite.
The Ghost of Christmas Present.
Shows up with... She has a sign next to her that just says the Ball Breaker Suite.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like dancing
the
to
first
this.
Thing she does is kick Bill Murray in the nuts. And at this point, I'm sitting there thinking, this guy is a jerk. He is a jerk. And then she kicked him in the nuts, and I was like, I have a favorite character! And then when she kept hitting him, like, hit him again! Yes.
Well, apparently when she... grabs his lip. Apparently she, like, rips his lip, like, on stage.
Oh, my God. Well, because I was wondering that, because she pulls his lip down. You can see all, like, down to, like, his chin. And I was watching, I was thinking, do lips bend that far? Like, that, and she boxes his ears and everything, too. Man, and because boxing ears, like, that hurts.
Yeah.
Because that's actually, in a self-defense class I took, one of the things I had to do, they're like, oh, this was also, works really good on drunk people.
Oh.
Box ears.
Nice.
They will complain, they might cry, fall to the ground, depending on how drunk they are, you can just walk away.
And this has been self-defense tips with Debbie.
This has been self-defense tips with Debbie. Yeah, she really beats him up.
Yeah, and it was such good physical comedy, because everything was just timed so perfectly.
Some of it, like, a lot of her character I found really annoying. Just the voice and everything, but I was like,
that's her voice.
I just like seeing him get beat up.
My favorite was when she, you could hear her wings, like,
yeah.
And then she was like, we're at a Christmas party, I'm so happy I wore my pretty dress.
I know, I was like, oh my gosh, you knew where you were gonna take him! But, so she takes him to his brother's Christmas party, where it's just so cute. They're playing a trivia game.
Yeah.
It's very, he's like, it looks like we're in a beer commercial.
Yeah.
It did.
They're all wearing Christmas sweaters. There's wood everywhere.
Yeah, there's wood everywhere. It's three couples. You know, it's cute. And then she takes him to Grace's place.
Yes.
His secretary, yeah. And those are the two places she takes him, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she hits him with a toaster.
She does hit him with a toaster, which I thought was nice. What's this? Right. A toaster? It makes sense, because in my mind, I was like, it makes sense that a toaster oven would be under the coffee table. Like, for some reason, did not question that she pulled a toaster out from under the coffee table.
She's a ghost.
She is a ghost.
That's what we're focusing on?
This, well, I don't know. She
has wings.
She's like, oh, what's this? Under the car, like, what? Nope, wasn't expecting a toaster oven, but for some reason I'm rolling with it. Like, but I liked.
Oh, and then they go to Herman being frozen. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, they go to Grace's house, and that's when we see more of the family interacting and stuff like that. And it's very cute.
Because of Christmas present. So happy but poor.
Yeah.
So, a little on the nose there.
Yeah, little right on the dot. But that's fine. And then he's stuck in the sewer, and then we see Herman being frozen.
Yeah.
Which was, like, just exactly like The Shining. Because he's even smiling,
that's
too.
That's the thing. I did forget that part happened. I was like, oh. There were a couple scenes where I was like, oh.
I said this before. I'll say it again. I screamed. I just, like, no. No, 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 no. Oh, my goodness. And so then he runs into, like, the guy. So then he goes back to the studio.
Yep.
Loses his mind again.
Well, that's because he goes, like, through a door. So straight from the sewer into the set.
Yeah. More magic. Yeah.
And this is the best part when he is, like, running. They're, like, trying to get him up to his office and the elevator opens.
And it's the guy who plays the Ghost of Christmas Future in the live television program that they're doing.
Yeah.
Who is creepy, right. To be fair.
It's the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, it's the Grim Reaper. And Bill Murray, like, falls on the ground and is pleading with him. And then the Hollywood sleazebag is like, dude, cut it out.
Yeah.
Like, which makes me think that he's been doing that the entire run of the production. Just, like, sneaking up behind people and standing there until they lose their minds. And that's why I thought it was funny. Because he was so, like, get out of the elevator. And I was like, whoop, this guy's a trickster. This guy's a joker. He's just been scaring everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
then the real one is 10 times creepier. Because, first of all, I really liked how he appeared the first time in the TV screen.
Yeah.
Because
he has, like, the wall of TV screens.
Yeah.
And so, like, I just liked how they used the entire screen.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, it's just the TV show. Like, we're fine.
Yeah, because he appears in one.
Right.
And each of the TV screens is just... he's not watching a bunch of TV screens that make up one picture. He's watching a bunch of TV screens that are all playing separately.
Yeah.
So instead of one big screen, he's watching a big wall of little screens. And you see him appear in one in the bottom right corner and then just grow to fill all of them. So then you're just like, oh my gosh. And yeah, and then the hand comes out. And you could even though you could tell that that was just a hand that was being placed in front of the camera, it was still like the effect, you know, you could buy the effect.
Yeah.
But that's when What's-His-Face came in with the rifle.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we kind of just went over how I just couldn't. That completely, like, freaked me out and took me out of it. But then the Ghost of Christmas Future gets him in the elevator. And when he opened up the cloak and there's all the screams around the ribcage. Oh, my God. That was scary. I did like how he checked twice just to make sure. Because, like, and honestly, wouldn't you... open it up, and you're like, all right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, nope, still there, okay, like, what, you would do a double take, come on now, so I like that, but the weird futuristic world,
that was weird,
where it's like, suddenly everyone is wearing, like, you know,
they're in Brazil,
they are in Brazil, that's what I thought of, I was like, what, this is surely, based on, you know, this kid's age, this is 7 years into the future. This isn't, like, decades later. This is 5 to 7 years in the future, and suddenly everyone's wearing like gray 10. Uniforms. I didn't think that kid looked 15.
The kid in the... oh, he looked... I thought he looked, like, 15, 16.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, still, even 10 is a stretch.
Yeah.
But, because I was like, this is some weird future stuff we're going into here.
They went straight Brazil. I think it was more like Grace had on, like, the cloak. Like,
yeah, she didn't have shoes on.
But I think
that... but that could be because he is... I mean, his shoes didn't have laces, so they probably made her take them off.
But she could be homeless by that point, then.
Maybe.
Maybe that was meant to be, like...
maybe. I don't know. But I thought that whole scene was weird. And then they showed him... whose future did they show him next? It wasn't straight to the funeral, was it?
It was Grace's. I'm sorry, the Karen.
Yeah, then they showed Karen being the lady who lunches.
Yeah.
And then they showed him his own funeral. That creeped me out. I was not okay with that.
That was scary, because especially when it was like, they just showed his brother's wife.
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh, the brother's dead. And then the brother showed up.
Well, and, like, and then when he started burning, that's like, I just... nope, that was another skip through, because I was like, okay, cannot. Like, already freaked out, can't deal with this.
Yeah.
And so, then he appears again in the elevator on the same floor, and starts going on, I'm alive, but, like, the guy's still there, who wants to kill him.
I think he forgot about that.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure he did, because he's been through a lot.
Right.
But, and so, then he ends up, like, just the whole, like, starting to kiss him and blowing raspberries on his stomach type thing. I'm like, this is weird. No straight man is ever, like, even, like, no. Mm-mm. Do not put down his shirt. No. Do not blow raspberries on a grown man's stomach. I don't know. Something about this is weird.
But that is my favorite part is, because we'll just touch on the ending since you fast forward. But there's a line that's Bill Murray says where he's like, Christmas Eve is the one day of the year where everyone smiles a little bit more. Everyone, you know, it's just a bit nicer.
Okay.
And Christmas Eve is the one day that we can be the person that you want to be.
Mm.
And then, but why can't you be like that every year? Or every day.
Every day. Yeah, that's true.
And that's the thing. I do think, like, Christmas Eve, you know, everyone's just a little bit, like...
there's always... well, because, shoot, what was it? Okay, I remember what it was. The Empire podcast.
Uh-huh.
One of them said one time, he said, like, our job is a perpetual Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
because they're always, like, when they're going to these movies, it's, like, it's always hoping, like, getting really excited about something, and you just hope it's going to be good. It's, like, getting to unwrap so many presents again and again and again. And that feeling of, like, excitement and hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is unique to Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
You know?
And so that's the main thing that he says.
Yeah.
Is that he does that. That's and then nice. He brings, and then Claire, Karen Allen, brushes
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
And jumps in front of the TV screen, because it's live.
Yeah.
And he goes, Claire, whole world, Claire.
Yeah. So I was like, that was cute, I did watch that bit.
And then the kid says,
God bless us, everyone. Yeah. To which I said out loud, oh, stop it with the kid.
And then it ends on a sing-along.
Yeah.
But here's the one thing I did notice throughout the entire thing was the score.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept sitting there going, this is Nightmare Before Christmas music.
Is it?
Danny Elfman did the score for this, too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
But, like, at the beginning, it's that kind of, like, Christmas music, but...
I did notice, like, it was Christmassy music, but it was also creepy.
Right.
Yeah.
And that he does... I was like, this is like Nightmare Before Christmas.
Danny.
Danny.
You do it so well, Danny.
It does a good Christmas soundtrack.
You done good, Dan. The score was very nice.
I did like the score, yeah. But that was my final thing, because I was watching the sing-along, and I was
nice.
Like, oh.
Okay. So, what do you have to know to pretend like you've seen this?
Based on Christmas Carol?
Yep, based on the Christmas Carol. Like, just in general, Bill Murray is Bill Murray. Maybe the whole, like, TV exec thing?
Yeah, or the ghosts.
What about the ghosts?
I don't know, just highlighting the ghosts. Cab.
Like, the Christmas Carol kind of.
Oh, all right. All right, I'll put that in with the Christmas Carol.
Okay.
Ghosts. It's a modern... Oh, no, that goes with that one. TV exec?
Yeah, I think, like, just, like, that's... Instead of a, you know, banker, it's a structure of, like, TV executive and...
We'll have the Christmas Carol be a big one.
Yeah.
That's more of a...
Well, and to be fair, like, Christmas Carol is a broad umbrella. Yes. Like, you should know it is, you know... It covers a lot of things, that's one.
Yes.
Okay. And so, for next episode, we are continuing with the old Bill Murray Christmas theme and doing something a little different that is a brand new release.
Brand new release.
At the time of recording, it came out yesterday on Netflix. We're going to watch A Very Murray Christmas. Because Ashley and I were having a hard time finding a Christmas movie that neither of us had seen.
Yeah. And also... I'm not really feeling much in the Christmas spirit there, Deb.
Yeah, I'm not either, to be perfectly honest.
So I feel like...
We're both a little stressed.
So I in my heart of hearts,
yeah.
I hope that this Barry Murray Christmas special...
Just brings you back around into the Christmas spirit. Yeah.
It's also kind of hot out.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's in, like, the 50s. It's in the...
I'm not complaining. Like, by all means, it should stay this temperature forever.
I want my snow.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Okay. So, this has been...
You Haven't Seen.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley. Thank you so much for listening. As always, be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter at YHS Podcast.
No. _ podcast.
Damn it, I was about to say. You can follow us on Twitter at YHS_podcast. You can follow us on Tumblr at youhaven'tseen-podcast.tumblr.
.com.
.com.
I'm sure everyone knew that, right. But you gotta get it in there.
So what you want to do is you want to go into your search bar, HTTP.
Yes. ///
www.
Okay. We'll see you next time with A Very Merry Christmas.
See you then.